Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Product Marketing Insider podcast, which is brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. My name's Bryony Pearce, and I'm the content manager here at PMA. This week's podcast is sponsored by the Product Marketing Festival. For those of you who haven't heard about it yet, it'll be coming to a screen near you between June 8th and June 14th, and we'll be featuring headline acts from companies like Amazon, Uber, Adobe, and Facebook, talking about everything from research all the way through to optimization. To get your ticket, just head over to the site festival.productmarketingalliance.com. To help establish and elevate the role of product marketing, we're on a mission to speak to 50 PMMs and pick their brains on everything from their journey into the industry, which teams they interact with most, what skills they believe are critical for the role, and a whole load more. To do just that, with me today is Melanie Linhan, a product marketing manager over at WeTransfer. And before joining WeTransfer, Melanie held various account, customer, marketing, and product marketing roles at companies like Twitter, Topsy, Quarterly Co., CyberU, and 1220. So, let's pass over and welcome to the show, Melanie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Could I get you to kick off, please, by just giving everyone a bit of an introduction into you, your role, and then WeTransfer, please?
Of course. So, as you said, my name is Melanie Linhan, and I'm the product marketing manager on our flagship product over at WeTransfer. I've been a marketer for a little over 10 years now, which sounds crazy to say, but I've been, as you mentioned, a marketer in various roles, in various stages of startups for some time. And prior to joining WeTransfer, I actually was working in Los Angeles, prior to that in San Francisco, kind of working with, as you mentioned, like account management roles, customer success roles in various technology companies. And that really fueled my excitement around growth marketing. And that's where I actually moved from San Francisco to Los Angeles, working more with a subscription-based company called Quarterly Co. That was acquired pretty quickly after I helped launch our growth marketing strategy. So that was really something that kind of fueled my excitement around building out growth marketing strategies, teams, and ultimately my excitement around startups. And then kind of fast forward to where I am now, my partner got offered an opportunity to come from LA to Amsterdam. And I said, why not? Like, let's make the jump across the pond, if you will. Mm-hmm. And at kind of once jumping into Amsterdam in 2018, I was consulting, looking for something a little bit more exciting from my experience working in and my academic background in the arts. Found something at WeTransfer that really sparked my interest. And to give you an idea of what WeTransfer does, is WeTransfer is actually a product that helps with file sharing, similar to the way you would consider a courier 10 years ago that ironically was the solution that they were kind of replacing, basically help production or artists transfer large files to their clients. And it was something that's actually a Dutch-based company. So fast forward 10 years, I joined WeTransfer in April of last year as their first product marketer. I have a counterpart that also is a product marketer that focuses on our other products. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I focus primarily on our flagship product and our premium offering of that file sharing service. And our premium offering is called WeTransfer Pro. And that's actually an offering where you have more of a presence or a profile as a creative. So there's a really exciting opportunity for you to have a landing page, a URL, an experience that you deliver in addition to whatever creative solution you're delivering as an artist.
Mm-hmm. And then what's WeTransfer setup like? So is the entire company based there in Amsterdam, or has it got a global presence? Or
yeah, so we have a global presence. The majority of our team sits here in Amsterdam. So we have about 200, I would say, close to 200 that sit in Amsterdam. And then we have an office in Los Angeles, ironically, that I did not work with prior to joining. But that's the majority of our marketing team and some of our sales team. And then we also have an office, a small office in Seattle, and then a small office in New York as well.
Okay, cool. And then you mentioned you kind of came from an account and customer success roles previously. How did you make that transition into growth marketing and product marketing? Would you say it was fairly self-taught or?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it was somewhat of a natural transition because I think working so closely to customer success, it was a matter of, you really had to understand the ins and outs of the product, the struggles of the clients of you know, or and of course the best successes and best practices from a client's perspective, and also just being super close to the growth teams and also the engineering teams on like where things are progressing and the product roadmaps. It was something that coming from San Francisco to Los Angeles actually it was quite a simple transition for me to kind of move more specifically into strategic roles in marketing and then also kind of within that same realm of product expertise, kind of being in that technical marketing arena really allowed me to kind of just naturally kind of progress in that way. And also, like, as you said, kind of self-taught. So being able to work super closely to engineering teams and product teams on those opportunities to kind of understand how to better communicate what the product's offering and the value proposition was, and understanding how to be customer-centric around what benefits, both, of course, like feature, but also emotionally driven benefits really will resonate in your messaging. And that kind of natural transition kind of just happened.
Yeah. And then would you say kind of coming from those backgrounds and having experienced those different departments, has that set you up quite well for the product marketing role, would you say? And especially when you're having to interact with those teams so much in this role?
Yeah, I think, the idea of having that empathy and understanding what their experience is on the other side, whether it's a sales team or a support role, I think it certainly helped set me up in the sense of just really understanding kind of the multiple facets that kind of come into play when you're talking about a product to a customer, but also understanding what perspective or what point of view you need to kind of consider when thinking about the messaging as a whole. And I definitely think starting out my career in that way and also being kind of at the forefront of having the conversations with accounts and your customers and understanding their struggles always, and even today, sitting closely and when we do have a product launch with our customer support team and understanding what are the questions that are coming in and how to make sure you're really addressing the audience and your customer in the right way to hopefully not have anything but happy and positive responses to your launch is critical.
Yeah, for sure. And then I guess kind of one fairly common talking point in product marketing is how much the role can kind of vary from one company to another and how product marketers often have kind of different responsibilities depending on where they are. What would you say your main responsibilities are at WeTransfer?
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment. I think there's so many different ways that you can address or position product marketing within a company. I think within WeTransfer, prior to myself and as I said, my counterpart joining the organization, there was really no one focused primarily on product marketing. So we've really set out the foundation and kind of set out the way that we would ideally love it to be set up, and we're still kind of optimizing for that. But I would say for product marketing within WeTransfer, we sit within our marketing team. I sit very closely with our product teams and our product manager. But across the board, I think that we're most successful because we really help facilitate the launches and equally make sure we're really the owners of what this value proposition and messaging, the core message that we want our product to really communicate both externally but internally. You really are that champion of your product within WeTransfer.
Yep. And then you mentioned you sit with product. Do you report into product as well?
No, actually I don't, but it's interesting because as I'm sure speaking to various PMMs and PM leaders, there are various structures, but I sit with my product team, although I still report into marketing. I sit physically with them so that I'm as close to the action as possible. It's being a facilitator and having a company that is obviously very rapidly growing and evolving. It's always really important to kind of be there when the conversations are happening, be an advocate, be a team player in the sense of being able to be as close to where the product decisions are being made. And I'm fortunate enough to kind of be able to kind of sit as closely as possible with those teams.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And is that quite, have you had experience reporting into products? And like, would you say you have a preference over product or marketing?
You know, I don't actually have experience reporting directly into product. But I do think it's an interesting discussion. I think it completely depends on the structure of the company. Because ultimately, you know, I report into my senior director of marketing. It's actually based in Los Angeles, but, with where we're at in it as an organization, it actually works quite well. However, of course, it depends on the business goals and your overarching KPIs or OKRs for your department. And it's also, you know, an interesting thing to consider when ultimately my goals kind of tie up to what the product goals are, but also simultaneously with what marketing's goals are. So it completely depends on what your focus is. But I often kind of find myself sitting with a foot in product and a foot in marketing. But it ends up working out quite well. But it can completely depend on the structure of your organization for sure.
Yeah. And then you mentioned, so the person you report into is based in LA. How do you find those time differences and managing those?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to kind of structure your time. Of course, you know, 9-hour difference is not an easy one.
Yeah.
But also moving from Los Angeles to Amsterdam, I was consulting previously with my prior company as well. So I had some experience with splitting my time. Or having more, you know, a few later nights and a few, you know, for them more early morning conversations. But it's just about structure, and I think also making sure that communication is key when you're, you know, working within like a time crunch or a product launch. Over communication is always something that's super helpful. But equally, I think having trust in my manager and also my manager having quite a bit of trust in me in being the core marketer that sits in our headquarters also is super instrumental in making sure that, you know, I kind of have my boots on the ground, if you will, around what's happening, communicating and relaying back to her and the other marketers that sit in LA, and then equally for her to be able to kind of convey to me more so from a digital perspective and a brand marketing perspective what our team in Los Angeles is focused on, managing our agency, and also kind of more holistically where the product marketers kind of tie into where the overarching brand looks, vision and message is.
I think in this day and age as well, there's nothing to stop like those time zones and location differences. Nowadays, there's so many ways you can overcome it. So even like us at PMA, most of the team are based down in London. I'm up north in England and then split between Canada as well. So when I'm in Canada, we have kind of a 6-7 hour time difference. But this, I found as well, there's one big advantage of the time difference sometimes in that you can do something when it's kind of your working hours and then you can pass it over. And then by the time you wake up, other people have kind of done their bit while you're asleep and then it's ready to kind of just flow on the next day, which I find that's quite a handy, a bit of a perk, I guess, to the time differences.
Yeah, absolutely. You can certainly make it, you can really optimize it to be a passing of the baton in a way, in like an Olympic or like a triathlete sense, where it really helps if you have the right team members in place and you know what needs to happen when. It can actually be more advantageous to have that kind of structure. And we've certainly found that in some ways, working really closely with my director of digital marketing in LA. You know, I'll kind of hand over a brief or you know, things that we want an agency to work on. She'll hand over details to an agency. They'll work on it while I'm asleep. And when I wake up, there's iterations for me to approve, which is really exciting and a nice way to also kind of wake up to kind of progression of a project.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. So next up, this is a tricky question, but I ask it everyone. If there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role look like? And the impression I'm getting is there is no such thing as a standard day.
No, I think that impression is an accurate one. I think overall, a standard day, one thing I would say is like thematically you could say would always be standards is that you're always kind of facilitating conversation or, you know, ensuring progression of a project, whether it's a launch or, you know, ensuring that there's constant conversation or flow of communication about what's going on with various stakeholders. I would say that would be something that is continuously standard across my my work. So, you know, whether I'm having meetings with my product team, and understanding what's coming, and then kind of relaying that to the appropriate like channel marketers and who's going to be supporting a launch, and then of course working with an internal agency that we have here, WeTransfer, which we're very fortunate to have, to start creating some of the campaign assets, and then relaying that to an agency that then would use that for performance marketing. There's so many things that are very fluid about and communication that I have to ensure is consistent and constantly moving. So I would say that that's probably the biggest piece about my standard day, is that I'm constantly kind of just facilitating conversation with the appropriate stakeholders, making sure those that need to know are informed, and also kind of being that internal advocate for the product just as much as an external advocate for the product. So, you know, you should be able to sit down with customer support. They have a question on what's coming, just as much as I should be able to sit down with, you know, an executive level team member on like where the progression of a specific launch is headed.
Yeah. Would you say the executives over at WeTransfer, are they kind of quite bought into the product marketing role? Because I know that's kind of another bit of a contentious topic within product marketing, in that some people struggle to get that kind of buy-in from above, which makes the role obviously a lot harder to carry out.
Yeah, I would say we're very fortunate to have that buy-in from our executive leadership team. They see the value and understand the value of product marketing, which is really a fortunate place for myself and, again, my counterpart to be in. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, having that, you know, I would say ability to then have that trust internally allows for, you know, my voice to kind of be elevated in the same context of, you know, being able to speak to the company on behalf of where the product marketing, you know, objectives are, where a launch is headed, successes, failures, learnings. It's a nice place to be for sure.
Yeah, cool. And then in terms of kind of people and teams outside of products marketing, like your sales, products, operations, and that kind of thing, which departments would you say you interact with most on a sort of day-to-day basis? And then what's your relationship with those teams like?
Yeah, I would say I work most closely to our product team, of course, but also our formerly called growth team, now called insights and intelligence team, that's more kind of composed of a set of data scientists that help myself with experiments, launching new tests of messaging, UX design, and then also UX designers and researchers that sit more closely to, you know, where the product is headed, what we want to learn from our customers, what our customers kind of asking for. Those are probably the two teams that I sit the most closely to, mm-hmm. And work really on kind of like the forward thinking around the strategy of what's happening and what we want to do from the product marketing perspective. Equally, as I mentioned, having an internal studio, we work really closely with them to create these amazing and creative campaigns to help launch with new product offerings or features. And also, of course, working with WeTransfer is an interesting beast in the sense of that we have our own advertising platform behind the transfer window, where we have almost 60 million monthly active users come to use our tool, but also they get to see this beautifully created advertising unit that's living behind that transfer window. So we also have a advertising team that I work with closely to actually use that unit. You could call it the billboard of the internet. Mm-hmm. To then also, of course, advertise our own products on our own service. So that's an exciting thing to think about when we think about being able to kind of work with that other department as well.
Yep, sounds it. And then in terms of your actual interactions with those teams, what does it sort of look like? So do you have kind of recurring meetings in the diary, or is it more kind of ad hoc desk drops, or?
Yeah, it's a combination, I would say, for sure, but I'm fairly structured in the way I like to work. Also knowing how many directions product managers can be pulled in. I think they have the most visibility and demand within our organization. So I try to keep as much structure to having consistent recurring meetings with those individuals, as well as my growth team or my insights and intelligence team. And then, of course, there's the interim check-ins of where things are going, conversations that kind of are ad hoc as well. But I think having a nice balance, because you know that at the end of the day, people's time is limited.
Yep.
It's nice to have that recurring moment to check in if you don't need it, if there's no reason to have an update, which is rare. You can always remove it, but I think that kind of structure helps everyone to be more on point and also know when you're going to have a moment to kind of revisit or think through, a launch or have a conversation. You know that time is set aside for you to kind of solely focus on that.
Yep. And then out of curiosity, so you mentioned there's you and you've got one other in product marketing. What's your ratio then with product managers? So how many product managers to product marketers are there?
Yeah, so it's interesting because of the way that our transfer product, which is the product I solely focus on, has multiple product managers, but we kind of split it the way we think about it in the sense of we have the free tool and we have our premium tool. So we have two, I think we're actually hiring maybe for a third product managers that focus on our core product. So it's more 3-to-1 with myself. Of course, I also have a project manager that sits with me to help support majority of the projects that I focus on with our transfer product, because of course it is our largest user group and largest generating revenue generating product. Mm-hmm. And then we also have two other tools mainly that my counterpart focuses on, which is paper and paste, which are tools that have more of an opportunity for us to be a little bit more creative in where we can go with paper, of course, being an iPad app that you can explore with a stylus and basically a journaling or creative tool. And then we also have Paste, which is a presentation tool that's more design centric. It's more kind of in its product market fit phase, that we're going to be doing some exciting things with this year as well. So she sits in Los Angeles actually, and the product teams for both of those products actually sit in New York, but she sits with those two product managers as well.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay, next up. What would you say the top three skills are that have helped you get where you are today?
Wow, top three. That's always interesting, especially kind of thinking about how you've developed as, in your career. Uh-huh. I would say for sure communication is up there. Being a really consistent and clear communicator, and also a facilitator in the sense of really being able to help kind of mediate and facilitate conversation in the right way with the right stakeholders. Equally being able to communicate up and across the organization is really key when thinking about what we can maximize as a product marketer, understanding what needs to be shared, who needs to know what, when is really key. Yeah. I would say being more of a strategic marketer in the sense of having like a growth mindset, and my experience working as a growth marketer has certainly helped. Understanding, how to measure success, being interested in data and being data driven. And I would say that's probably equally just as important to being a solid communicator.
Yeah.
And then I would say also maybe from the context of really being, adaptive, working in the startup space is really key as well. There's always going to be a moving target. You're not always going to be able to say, this is the product, this is the feature, this is when it'll launch, nothing will change. It's very rare in technology, especially as we know. So I think being able to be adaptive and dynamic and also kind of have that can-do attitude is really key as well, because at the end of the day, we know that, the vision or the objective of where the project or product is going to go may shift, and you have to be kind of reactive to that and be able to equally be proactive in your approach.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. Thanks for that. Next up, would you say there's a lot of crossover between what you do and what a product manager does over at WeTransfer? Or are the lines quite blurred, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, I would say that there's overlap of where we work together, but I would say that the lines are pretty clearly divided in the sense of, the two of us will work together to understand, what the proper message is for what this value of a new feature or product is going to deliver to our users and understanding our users. But our product managers are solely focused on understanding the direction of the product and building out the roadmap. I, of course, will work closely with our product managers to make sure we're prioritizing what marketing needs, if there's something within that roadmap that will optimize or help to enable marketing, whether it's like monetization or of a product, or, you know, optimization based on an experiment. But, and then of course, my side is of course to then help make sure that that consistency of messaging and the value proposition is constantly and consistently communicated properly across the product. So working with our product designers, copywriters, and then also of course into the marketing team and with experiments to ensure that we're always optimizing that as well. So I would say there's overlap, but it's clearly divided as well.
Yeah. Cool. And then in terms of that roadmap piece, what does the process of introducing new products and features look like for you? And then how does it compare at WeTransfer to existing companies you've been at?
Yeah, so I would say that it's quite similar across various roles that I've held at different companies, where, you know, we'll work with more of an annual vision for the business and the products, and then kind of break it out into quarterly objectives. I think that, you know, that's kind of a wonderful thing about myself enjoying some structure, as well as I think from a technology standpoint, it's fairly a standard approach to things. But I would also say that from that standpoint, you know, things, as I said, you'll have moving targets, things will shift, things will be deprioritized or reprioritized. So you have to be able to kind of be on your toes. But equally, I think there's quite a bit that we try to map out as much as we can to ensure that we communicate as much as possible to our product teams how much time we'll need to ensure we can effectively market a launch, just as much as, of course, like as early as possible to be involved in those conversations with product to know what's coming, what we need to be aware of, what's changing, so that we can obviously work together as closely as possible to effectively, you know, work on a launch.
Yeah. And then how much, if any, of your roadmap do you share with customers?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think that, you know, at the moment, we're pretty closed door with where our product is going, also because we're working on some exciting things to come out later this year. But at the same time, I think that we do quite a bit of user testing with our customers and our core users. We have some beta tests that we've launched earlier this year and late last year as well, to kind of get a sense of if an additional feature or offering would be something that would add value to their experience of using our product and our premium product especially. So it's a blend, but I would say like being more transparent with our audience and our customers, especially our core customers, is something we've started to do. Yeah. But also I think it's tricky when you're still kind of building the plane as you're flying it, if you will.
Yeah, that
makes sense. You want to make sure you're kind of keeping things close to the chest until it's ready to kind of really be full-fledged launch.
Yeah, for sure. And then in terms of that user testing piece, how does that work for you? So how do you go about choosing which customers will test it? And then how do you find getting them on board? Is that a fairly easy process or?
Yeah, one thing that's an amazing advantage about WeTransfer is that we have like a fanatical user base. So it's really wonderful that we have so many people that are strong advocates for our products and our tools and our community. So I think that oftentimes my user research team, that's amazing, that sits on our growth team, they'll kind of, you know, have a set number of users that are really super active or engaged or have raised their hand, if you will, to see if they're open to kind of exploring some initial testing of new features or what have you. But I think we equally have done various outreach tests as well, where we'll send out kind of like a general message around, you know, being like open to participation in a beta launch and see how many respondents we have. But we've been fairly successful with that. And I think, it comes down to the fanatical user base we have.
Mm-hmm. And then are there any kind of, so outside of your user testing teams and the kind of insights and intelligence teams, are there any instances where kind of you directly speak to your customers firsthand?
Yeah, I think that there's quite a bit where, you know, I'll sit in these user interviews. I won't necessarily speak firsthand to them, but, you know, I'll sit closely with this team on like what they're working on. And also we are working on some fun things to come out later this year around specifically speaking to our customers about like the value that our product provides them, more almost in this kind of honest testimonial like experience, but more from a marketing perspective, of course, where, you know, we can speak to what the value really is of using our tool compared to maybe a traditional file sharing service as a creative, and how do we kind of amplify their voice as a like from a human level, not just from a technology based company speaking on behalf of how many gigabytes you can send or what kind of storage we provide you, but rather kind of this branded amplification of your own creative persona, if you will, as an artist, and how we can use that to kind of speak more to this really unique audience that WeTransfer has.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then out of curiosity, in terms of win-loss interviews, where does that sit? Is that the insights and intelligence teams? Do they kind of conduct those interviews or?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yep. Cool. Okay, penultimate question. In your opinion, what, if anything, do you think needs to change about product marketing?
What do I think needs to change? Well, that's an interesting question. I'm trying to think. I think that, honestly, it's been really interesting to see the shift in focus on product marketing in the recent years. Of course, speaking to you and the being part of the PMA community is really great. I think that continuing to see it kind of be built out as almost this separate but still part of marketing is really interesting, and seeing where it evolves, as you said, and we spoke about earlier, where does it sit? Does it sit with product? Does it sit with marketing? I think there's really a lot to kind of see how it's very differentiated from traditional digital marketing, but also, of course, it has a different use than just, of course, sitting directly within a product team. So I would love to see, and I'm of course, this role itself has only kind of evolved over the past 5 years or so. So like seeing where it comes from, you know, where it goes, obviously where it's come from, but where it goes is going to be really interesting. And of course, like anything, I think there's roles like this that have popped up over the last 5 or so years that we never really even thought about, but you know, as we as a society have been more technology focused, it's become this more nuanced approach to marketing, and I would love to see kind of where that expands and grows as we get more you could say more tenured in the experience of as a marketer, as a product marketer in the technology industry will be really interesting.
Okay, awesome. And then final question. If there were any new or aspiring product marketers listening to this podcast right now, what would your advice to them be?
Wow, I think, honestly, it's really interesting to think about kind of how many product marketers I know have gotten into product marketing. And I think it's a natural transition or progression in a career of just having interest in technology-based products, but equally, you know, focused on, you know, the customer's journey, the customer success, and equally, you know, the messaging and the value of the product to the user, and really being able to kind of spend time in each of those areas. I think, you know, really also kind of thinking more around what products change your daily life or improve your daily life. Or it's also quite funny to think about in the context of things that maybe are sticky products or products that you don't always necessarily enjoy the experience, the user experience that you have, and why that is, and learning kind of more around what makes you tick, but also what makes you excited about using a certain product, what makes you, you know, an active user every day on a specific tool, and just really kind of being curious, I think, is an interesting way to approach it. And then, of course, I think being able to learn more about the product, product management role and like product development as a whole is really fascinating as well. I think that really will help guide maybe an aspiring product marketer to kind of uncover maybe what about product marketing they're interested in most, because there's so many facets, as we've talked about. And then, of course, being able to kind of help them follow their own white rabbit, if you will, and kind of their own curiosities to where they're best suited in the product marketing capacity.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out today, Melanie. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Thank you. Thank you. You as well.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening, and if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show to speak about your day, a specific topic, or just your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.